And you may be seated. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? And you may be seated. So I was sent a little quote some time back, and it's been preaching to me ever since, and it'll preach to you today as well. So let's get into it, and I'm going to read this quote. It says, "Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard." And I'm going to add a few here. "Abstaining from sex is hard. But being a single parent is hard. Choose your hard. Going to work is hard. Homelessness is hard. Choose your hard. Tithing is hard, but robbing from God is hard. Choose your hard." And then the quote ends with this: "Life will never be easy. It will always be hard, but we can choose our hard. Pick wisely." Pick wisely. Today, I'm going to challenge you today to choose your hard. To choose your hard. Doesn't matter who we are, we're still going to have difficulty in life, but we can make it. We can have victory if we choose the right things. The greatest gift God has given us, one of the greatest gifts God has given us, is the power to choose. It's the power to choose. Praise God. Going back to our text, it said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That means we're identifying with the things he's gone through and the sufferings that he endured. Verse 14 said, "I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That Greek word actually means pressure. We are pushing. There's pressure to go toward that mark, to make that mark. There's pressure to get there. Pressure. And then it says, "Be followers together of me." And then he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." Some of those following Paul chose another hard. They chose another one. Their God was the belly. They chose earthly things. And now Paul weeps for them. They chose their hard. Amen. So I want to title this today, "Choose Your Hard." Choose your hard. Glenn Cunningham, he was 6 years old, and his older brother Floyd, they made their way to the schoolhouse on a bitter cold February morning in Kansas. They volunteered to arrive early to light the wood stove and warm the school for the other students and the teacher. Floyd, his older brother, would soak the wood with kerosene that helped fuel the fire. But that morning, the kerosene can was accidentally filled with gasoline. So when he poured the fuel on the wood and the vapors that were there, it exploded, and Glenn went back into a raging fires to find his brother. And so he was badly, badly burned. Floyd died. He died soon after the accident, and Glenn, the younger brother, remained in a coma for a long, long time. The doctor recommended amputating his legs, and his mother refused to allow it. Very weak and frail, conscious of only part of the time, Glenn lay helpless week after week after week. The deep snows of winter came, they passed. The rains came, and then spring. He began to improve. His mother made the right choice, not letting the doctor take off his legs. By summer, he was able to sit up in the bed. And in the day, he was cheerful, but at night, when Clint and Martha Cunningham, exhausted from their farm duties and caring for him, were finally asleep, he gave vent to his grief. Floyd, why did you have to die, Floyd? I tried to save you. I tried to get you out, but I couldn't find you. And he wept, and he wept about his older brother. A full year later, the following summer, the doctor brought something that he told Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham that he would have to use the rest of his life, crutches. You'll need them, he said. He said that life is hard. We've got to face the truth. You saved his legs, but what good are they? When the bandages finally came off, you saw what I already knew. Both legs were seared to the bone. The right leg crooked, 2.5 inches short, pulled up to the knee from the contracted scar tissue. All 5 toes on the left foot gone. No transverse arch. He'll never be able to walk again except on crutches. Face it, Glenn and Martha. Little Glenn heard what the doctor told Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham. Glenn asked, Mother, will you read to me the scripture that Dad read to us that morning that we went to school together? And here it is. She went to get the Bible and opened it to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 and began to read to little Glenn. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Little Glenn said, Yes, Mom, it was that verse. That verse was meant for me, Mother. I'm going to wait upon the Lord to renew my strength. Mother, I will walk again. I will walk without these crutches. I'll run and not be weary. God will help me, Mother. Little Glenn wanted leg massages and stretching to be extended. The doctor said that 1 hour a day of stretching all the scar tissue and on his legs and everything would help. And he said if an hour a day will help, Glenn thought, well, maybe 2 hours would help twice as much. And maybe 4 hours would work 4 times as much. So harder, Mom, harder. You've got to massage harder, Mom. The pain was unbearable to him. Ow, Dad, ow. Stretch the leg back again. Do it again, Dad. Hour after hour, day after day, month after month, he wouldn't quit. He suffered, but still wouldn't give up. Martha and Glenn Cunningham worked on those scarred, twisted legs. 4 long years later, Glenn threw the crutches away. He could hobble about, and through the pain, he began to walk. One day he was observed chasing one of the roosters in the yard, and Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham knew he was doing it with incredible pain. So another 2 years later, the crutches long forgotten, and the doctor confused and confounded. He was playing ball and running with the other children. The other children called him Little Bad Legs. He held on to the promise, though, that he would run and not be weary. He refused to give up. He grew, and in high school, he ran track. What kept Glenn from feeling pain was just running. People said he couldn't walk 10 feet without breaking into a run. He broke records in high school track. He won national meets. He broke records there. He broke the world interscholastic record. In college, he broke national AAU records. He ran in Europe and broke records there. He ran in the Olympics. In 1933, he won 37 track contests. He was awarded the James E. Sullivan Medal for being America's greatest amateur athlete. In a speech to sports writers in Youth of the Nation, Glenn said, quote, I simply accepted my injury, but I took what assets I had left and did the best I could with them. In 1939, at 29 years old, he dominated. He was considered the king of the mile. That year, he won 21 consecutive mile races. The little boy called Bad Legs, little Bad Legs, who wouldn't give up. What happened to Glenn was tragic. He could have lived in a wheelchair his whole life. That would have been hard. But he chose to get up through the difficulty and the hard of pain and tearing at the scars. He chose a hard that propelled his life into one of many, many victories. He chose his hard. He chose his hard. People choose to do what's easy every single day. I'd argue that people choose to do what's easy in life more than they choose to do what's hard. After all, it's in our nature, isn't it, to find just the path of least resistance? But here's what's more. Choosing to do what's easy now doesn't last very long. In fact, in almost every case, it only makes life just more difficult and harder later. It's the principle of delayed gratification. So while life can be easier from choosing the easier options, the truth is it's only a temporary easy. Experiencing the hard in life is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And take heed, hard now and hard later are not created equal. Choose your hard. Hard things don't come easily. Easy things come easily, but their end is hard. When was the last time someone did something really aggravating and you were standing there thinking, the anger is just not coming very well today? I'm having to work very hard right now to get angry. That never happens. It's a pretty easy thing. It has never happened to you. It has never happened to me. But you see, as easy and natural as it is to be angry, God's word says anger does not bring about the kind of righteous life God desires in all of us. A display of anger is easy. Controlling your anger is hard. Being lazy is easy. Applying yourself is hard. Becoming proud and arrogant is easy. Staying humble is hard. Doing hard things is a fight against our sin nature. The natural state of man, so that's the natural state of man, that carnal part of us. So to do hard things mentally, we must recognize who it is we're fighting against here. And don't feel bad about trampling that enemy within, that flesh, that carnal man. Praise God. It's a battle of the wills, normally spoken of parents and children, really, but the primary battle is between flesh and spirit. Our sin nature, and God dwelling in us. Praise God. That's why we talk about it so often when we talk about walking with God. It's a decision we must make every single day. We make the decision. I'm choosing to go to church today. I'm choosing to read my Bible today. I'm choosing to pray today. I'm choosing to be kind to my wife or my husband today. I'm choosing to do the right things. I'm choosing to be faithful. I'm choosing to get up in the morning and go to work when it doesn't feel good. And I'm choosing to provide for those that need me to provide. And I'm going to do those hard things. Praise God. I will follow you today. I will deny my flesh and all its easy appetites today. I will walk in the Spirit today. I will pray and tap in and fill up and be ready for battle today. The will, everybody said the will, is defined as the power of choosing one's own actions. It's your will. Praise God. David said when he was hiding from King Saul in Psalm 34 and 1, and this is when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And in Psalm 45:1, David's psalm of praise, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. In the face of a difficult day, choose your hard. Choose your hard. It's a decision. I will. I will. Everybody said it again. I will. I will means the power to choose my own actions. Choose your heart. One of your pastor's primary responsibilities, Sister Crosswhite, one of this church's primary responsibilities is to help lead people to get saved and to help them and us stay saved. Amen? The get saved are represented by acts of obedience and faith to the word, and it can happen in a matter of minutes, days, weeks. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a beautiful promise it is, and that we can be saved. Amen? Amen. And the stay saved part is walking the walk until Jesus takes us home. This can be the process of days, not just days and months, but months and months and years and decades, really, of following him. Praise God. That is why we talk about it so often. Your pastor preaches it, I'm sure, again and again. We have to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We all need to be equipped to do the work of God. If it's in the altars, if it's going out talking to your neighbor, if it's leaving a card at the a card for the church at the restaurant, whatever it is, we're equipping ourselves for the work of the ministry. We're all called to do this. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands, shall we? God, touch us today. Help us today, Jesus. God, you're doing a work today. Praise God. The idea that life is hard is so important for us to make it to the end. You just have to realize, you got to just put it in your gut. Listen, life is not easy. But I'm going to choose my heart, and I'm going to choose the help that God has equipped me and given me. Praise God. But it's necessary. It's a necessary message to counteract the broader and American Christian cheerleaders that are all over in churches all over. So many Christian leaders are selling an easy gospel. And that's why there's so many discouraged in their walk. And that's my concern, that you come into the family of God thinking that it's going to be easy now. You will be knocked over by the waves of hard that come to you. You will. But you have a help, and you have a church family. Praise God. Praise God. You just got to get up. You got to choose the heart of following Jesus and doing the right thing every time. The alternative may be easy now, but hell will be hard. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Don't make excuses. Don't blame others. Stand up and make good choices. Don't quit. Resistance makes a muscle, doesn't it? Don't quit. Did y'all hear me? Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep living for God. And if you haven't yet made your decision to live for God, live for God. Amen. Praise God. Just make the decision. I'm telling you, your life will be radically changed, and you'll have a hope and a promise and a blessing coming to you. Your family will thank you. Your neighbors will thank you. Your friends will thank you. Your co-workers will thank you. Let's just look at the life of Paul. Consider the terrible trials and sufferings he went through. And there's so many ministers that say, man, I wish I could be like the Apostle Paul. I don't know if you'd want to go through what he did. Here's a list of the things he went through, and it still falls short of all that he suffered. There was much hard in his life, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 11. In labors more abundant, he said. He labored hard, in other words. In stripes above measure, he was beaten. In prisons more frequently, he faced death often. From the Jews, he said, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once, he said, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. At a night and a day, I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, and in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepless night, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And there's more. He was given a thorn in the flesh, the Bible says, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, which is another word for torment, to torment him. 3 times he prayed for relief, and the Lord finally answered and said, my grace is sufficient. He was abandoned by all his friends while imprisoned, despaired even of life in 2 Corinthians 1:8. There was no kindred spirit who would be concerned for the welfare of the Philippian church. He was concerned about all of that. He faithfully followed God. He didn't turn around or walk away through the hard. Later we see him. Later we see him. This is why we go through the things we do. This is why Paul went through what I'm coming to right now. Later we see him encouraging Timothy. Evidently, Timothy was going through a low time and he needed to be reminded to persevere. You're going to make it, Timothy. You can do this thing. Why could Paul be so adamant about that and so truthful? Because he had gone through similar things himself. He reminded him to be patient, to be strong, to keep the faith. Don't turn from the hard, Timothy. Choose your heart, Timothy. I'm telling you, this is going to work out. You're going to make it through. I know the winds of adversity are blowing against you right now. Storms are swirling. Things are happening. People around you are not doing what they should do. But I'm telling you, Timothy, stay with the heart. Choose the right heart. In 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20, he said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou abidest by them, mightest war a good warfare. Paul's saying, stir up your why, Timothy. Stir it up. Holding faith, verse 19, and a good conscience. Paul was saying, you can do this hard thing, Timothy. Just hold on. You can do it. Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they chose their hard. In 2 Timothy 1:7, I got to remind everyone, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Each of us in here can make it today. I don't care what you're going through. You can make it today. You can do this thing. You can live for God and have victory. You can get past the guilt and you can be forgiven. Praise God. One of the most difficult things I have to deal with is people, when we counsel people, is not that God would forgive them. They can't forgive themselves. They cannot forgive themselves for the things that they've done and the past that they've had. And they can understand maybe the concept of God forgiving them, but they just can't seem to get past the fact that they just can't forgive themselves. You can forgive yourselves today. It's a lot easier to come to an altar when you finally realize that God forgives you, and then you can forgive yourself. Amen. Musicians, would you come? In 2 Timothy 2 and 1, he said, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Therefore, He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. How you react to the hard and to your hard will not only affect you, but it'll affect everyone around you. It's like throwing a pebble in a pond, and the ripple can spread from there, that little splash in the pond by that tiny little pebble, but it works its way all the way out to the surface of that, to the extreme edges of that water. The rippling effect, your life will affect them. And I'm saying today that choose the right heart. Praise God. And this is a scripture not often preached. Jesus was speaking in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in John 6 and verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And verse 66 said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They chose their heart. And in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And it's not even that many could find it, it's just they chose their heart. They had a will, but they didn't choose the will of God. They didn't choose the heart really that would give them peace and blessing and hope and a future. Can I say this? Getting to heaven is hard. But being in hell is hard. You got to choose your heart. Is someone thinking that it would be easier to give up or to walk away? Don't choose the easy, because it will be the hardest thing you ever do. God's heart is so much easier than the ease of walking away. I'm speaking to somebody today. God's heart is full of promises. God's heart is full of benefits. You make it through some of these things and you have a testimony. It strengthens you. It just puts a little bit of callus on your hands, and it makes you worthy and able to work and to see somebody going through pain themselves with a little empathy. It's easy to have sympathy, but empathy is a different thing altogether. Empathy says, I've been there. I've walked in your shoes. I've felt the pain. I know what it feels like. That's why we go through things, so we can have a testimony, so we can talk to somebody, and so we can minister to them. See, God's heart is full of blessing. God's heart is full of victories. God's heart will save your marriage. God's heart will save your marriage. I said, God's heart will save your marriage. God's heart will save your children. God's heart will save your mind, your mental health. He will turn everything right side up when it's been upside down for too long. He turns chaos into order. He turns just the ashes into beauty. He turns things around in your life. You know, you've got to go through the process of it, but I'm telling you, day in and day out, and every church service you attend, it's incrementally, you're just getting a little bit better. You're just growing a little bit more. You're seeing things the way God sees them, and you're seeing beauty for the first time. Brother Crosswhite, when I came into the church, I saw beauty. I saw order. When I was raised in chaos, I saw beauty. I just saw discipline. I saw good and wonderful things. I saw happiness for the first time. And that's where you can find You can find it all in the house of God. You can find it all living for Him. And you know what? With God's heart, He can help you with the hard. Praise God. In fact, He says He's made a way of escape. No temptation's taken us, but such as is common to man. He's made a way of escape. Even where there seems to be no way, He's made a way. Praise God. He will not put more on you than you can bear, He says. Isn't that comforting to know? Man, it rests heavily on the world. And anybody that's not in the church, it rests heavily. These burdens, these things that, you know, you think they might be having. No, they're going through stuff. But the stuff we go through, we have a help, praise God. And He says, no, I'm gonna help you bear it. And He also says this, that His burden is light and His yoke is easy. That's another promise. Praise God. Can we all stand? I remember the first time that I made a way to an altar. I was 21 years old. And this church is sensitive to the altar. Yeah, I mean, it fills, and I love that. And I want us all to come. However, I'm appealing to somebody today. Choose your heart that really is, in the end, a much easier. The burden is light. His yoke is easy. Praise God. You can be filled today. You can be changed today. And God will minister to you. He is such a great surgeon, Brother Crosswhite. His scalpel, the Bible says, can get in between soul and spirit. I don't know where that is, but He can find that place and delicately cut. He can cut the old things out. In fact, He gives a promise. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. I love newness. I love the fact that I can throw off my past and off those old memories, and I can throw off the guilt and the sin, and I can put it all away, and He makes me a new creature, a new creation. Praise God. Can we come today? Can you make your way and just make a commitment to Him today? Choose again. God, I'm choosing You. I'm living for You, Jesus.
Thank you. lift our hands to the Lord in this place right now. You know, the King is here to minister. The Lord of hosts is here to help you. Hallelujah. Lord, I give myself to you. I trust you, Lord Jesus, for your will and your work to be done. I love and I thank you today, God, for victory in my life. Lord, victory in the midst of my soul. I love and I praise you, Jesus. I love and I worship you, Jesus. Thank you for being with me right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, the world's definition is for peace. The world's definition for peace is this: the absence of conflict, the absence of adversity. But the biblical definition for peace is God with you in the midst of conflict, the presence of the Almighty God. Which one would you rather have? Nothing in your life and walk, right? It's easy to go to hell. It's easy to let hell control your mind. It's easy to take drugs. It's easy to be a drunk. It's easy to do the things of the world. It's easy to be driftwood, but to be a tree planted by rivers of water. Woo. Amen. It's somebody that puts their roots down and says, anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Though the storms assail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Is that your testimony? Is that your ambition? I choose not to be moved. I choose to anchor my soul in the rock of ages. Hallelujah. You ought to lift your voice, lift your hands, and give the Lord that praise. Thank you for meeting with me, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt the Holy Ghost. I told Brother King today, I said, I feel like the Lord wants to put an IV in the heart today of strength. When somebody is worn out, dehydrated, somebody's body is going through something, they give them an IV. Sister Rachel would tell you, you know, it don't instantly happen, but it gradually instantly happens. Whenever that IV starts working, and somebody, I feel the Holy Ghost like an IV to the heart today. I told him before service, and I felt it all through this. And sometimes we need something even more than just a drop. Amen. But we need a continuance of the Spirit of God. And what we've heard today, amen, is a dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A dose of the righteousness of God. The dose of the Word of God. Amen. Hey, friend, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the Word of God will last and stay forever. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise for what He's doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. God don't want you to be a loser. God wants you to be victorious. Amen. That's why He went to the cross, to pay for you. Amen. To be on the victory side. Praise God. Amen. God bless you today. Let's go to heaven, huh?
Excuse me.
Amen. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord, our guests, and everyone that's here. Amen. Tonight's service is at 6. Amen. We come back and pray at 6 o'clock, 6:30. We kick off our service worship, and choir will be singing tonight. We have a special missions presentation this evening, and we're excited about that. And after service tonight, we have what's called Taste of Missions in our third building. There's going to be samples from all different stages of our missionaries that we support. Not only that, there'll be hot dogs and hamburgers for you to fellowship and enjoy a good meal together tonight after service. But the better meal is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want you to come and get ready to digest some beautiful things in the Holy Ghost tonight. God bless you. Greet our guests. Encourage somebody in Jesus' name. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.